bunch of ring-dings and some yoo-hoo. It seems to calm me down. Fans are out of their minds.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. It's his podcast, the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Mr. Bill Curry Ford is here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. It's July. Training camp month is here. And summer is in full swing. That means, don't worry, drive Curry, Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, BillCurryFord.com. Make no payments all summer long. And they've got fantastic offers, Ira, BillCurryFord.com. You can shop there now. You can request the Ira Kaufman discount from Sean Sullivan, the general manager. You can take advantage of their amazing service department, the biggest around, period. More than 100 loaner vehicles when you bring in your vehicle for some service. You know you're going to have transportation. They'll work on your vehicle at your house. But more important, the Curry name, it's a family name. They're tremendous community supporters. We know them all personally. We've all bought our vehicles there. Bottom line, Bill Curry Ford. com. That's where you have to go first. Check out the website and start shopping. It's going to be a big shopping weekend, Ira. And of course, everybody's getting ready for this crazy storm season that's here. And that means you have to be ready with Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration, not just Tampa Bay now, across to Orlando and across the state. Big Bucks fans, Florida's Elite Restoration. They've got satellite offices now. And they're doing great work across the state. You can follow them on social media. Follow them on Instagram at Florida's Elite Restoration. But get to their website to be prepared. Mold, fire, flood, storm damage, whatever it is, call them first. Before you call your insurance company, when you call, mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan. And if you need their services after your free estimate and evaluation, then you'll get $500 back. If you move forward with them, they also do repairs. One-stop shop when you have a disaster in your home or your business. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, how are you, brother?
Doing well. We're in early July, guys. As we speak, Mr. DeKemper, Hurricane Beryl is barreling down. Hope it doesn't turn out as bad as it sounds, Lee. It's hurricane season, but Lee, around here, it's always Buccaneer season. People say nothing going on. Well, that's not true if you listen to my podcast. We give you all the details, all the intriguing storylines, and Steve's about to ask the two of us a bunch of questions regarding the 2024 Buccaneers. And Lee, I've been looking at the website. Lee, you post 2-3 stories a day showing how the Bucs are getting no national respect. Lee, it's unrelenting. One guy's got them 20th, one guy's got them 25th. I don't know if you agree with it, Lee, but I think a lot of it has to do with skepticism about the guy under center.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a big, big part of it.
What's the old saying? Your reputation preceded you or something like that?
Yeah. That's what's happened with the Bucs in Mayfield. There was a guy from the PFF tribe, and he was on the Athletics football show last week. And he's like, oh, the Bucs are just a check-down offense, and that's what they'll be this year, a check-down check-down team that can't run the ball. I'm like, check-down? I recall quite a few long passes to Mike Evans. And I start doing a little bit of research, like, wait a minute. They had, like, the eighth most passing yards in the league. How the hell is that check-down? Well, this guy lives in Montreal, so I think that speaks for itself. But half these guys, you know, I swear some of these guys, they have not watched the Bucs. They just go by a box score, maybe a roster, and they use guesswork. Check-down team. Okay, I know journalism is not a good thing these days, but I always thought that, you know, you got to be accurate, or at least attempt to be, strive to be accurate, and just say, no, somebody's a check down. You just told me you're not watching football.
Sage, real quick, let me throw the numbers out there. The Bucs were 17th in the NFL in total yards, 8th in touchdowns, and 14th in yards per attempt. So you look at that, and that's not a team that's dinking and dunking.
I mean, Mike Evans didn't score 13 touchdowns, Lee, off checkdowns. Maybe the guy looked at, you know, Rashad White and said, hey, this guy gets a lot of balls. Yeah, he does, because he's great at it. But, you know, Mike Evans, he had arguably an all-pro season.
Mm-hmm.
Tied for the league lead in touchdowns, and it didn't come on, you know, little two-yard passes and let Evans do the rest of the work. That's not the way this offense works, Lee, so
not only is that a mischaracterization, how can someone definitively say what the Bucks' offense is this year, what will be this year, when no one has seen what Cohen's going to do with Mayfield and the Bucks? We've seen what he did with Mayfield, you know, in Los Angeles, and that was probably a dumbed-down offense because Mayfield had, what, like 5 days for the first game? 5 days to learn the offense? I think it's fair to say they dumbed down the offense for him in Los Angeles. So who really knows what this offense is going to look like?
I'm expecting a more dynamic offense, Steve. Maybe I'm being naive. I don't know Liam Cohen that well. I haven't studied his tendencies with the, 2022 Rams or Kentucky last year. I'm expecting it to look a lot different. And in terms of the running game, Steve, not a moment too soon. Not a moment too soon.
All right, Ira. Look, we put out on X asking people if they wanted to throw out a question to the Sage. So I've got some. I'm not going to get to all of them. But are you ready? I got some tough ones here for you. You want some easy ones, some fun ones? What do you want first?
Wait a minute. Let me take a sip of my Dunkin' Donuts coffee here, Stevie.
Hold on. Other people would take a shot. I was doing the coffee.
let's start with a tough one, Stevie.
Start with a tough one. All right, I got a really tough one for you. This one comes from Captain Bucks. He says it's trivia for the Sage. He thinks he can stump you, or it could be a she, I should say that. The Bucks played in only one tie game. Who is it against?
One tie game in their entire history?
He put down the 20th century. I added that they've only played in one tie period. So it is the 20th century, Ira. Your favorite century, for the record.
I'm going to say 1982, the strike season. No, I'm not going to say that. No, they were 5-4 that year. I'm not going to say that. I'll say, Steve, 1984 when they sucked. 1984.
All right, Ira, the answer to the question is 1980. They hosted the Packers at a 1 o'clock game, and they tied it up at 14. And that was it. Coach Bart Starr for the Packers, John McKay for the Buccaneers, and the Bucs just could not take the lead after tying it up in the fourth quarter.
Did the Bucs have more than 53 yards on the ground that day, Stevie?
The Bucs had 180 yards on the ground that day on 35 carries.
Whoa, who led the way? Ricky Bell?
Ricky Bell, 21 carries, 85 yards. Doug Williams scrambled for 48. And a young man named Jerry Eckwood, 8 carries, 42 yards. I'm sure Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford is screaming right now that you didn't know the answer to that question.
Well, number 43.
Jerry Eckwood. Steve, it's incumbent on you to send Captain Buck a little gift certificate for that one. Steve.
All right, this one comes from Tree Ballins. He asks, was this Muriel Berkowitz, the girl that you had a fling with years ago, a real looker before electricity was invented?
Well, Lee, in the spirit of full disclosure, and I think you already know this, she was a fictional character.
A composite?
That's right, a composite. There was no Muriel Berkowitz. Now, I might have went out with a Muriel, and I might have went out with a Berkowitz, but the twain shall never meet, and she was utilized by me as a tool, Lee, when I was trying to get Ed Sable, founder of NFL Films, into the Hall of Fame in 2011. Lee, it was my very first presentation as a Hall of Fame selector. A lot of pressure. The guy was 95 years old. He had to go in. There was no contributor category, Lee, that year in 2011. That didn't come till later. So, Lee, he had to go up against the players, the great players, you know, modern-day players. And there's only 5 spots maximum. And so that was a tall order. So I used Muriel Berkowitz as a tool, Lee. Not the first time I've made something up in that room. No, I'm kidding. But it went over very well. I remember Peter King, Lee, when the meeting ended and Sable got in, very emotional moment for me. Peter King said, I'm coming in next year's meeting with a T-shirt that has Muriel Berkowitz's name on it. And he didn't do it, Lee, but it was a tool. And just to flesh it out, I said that here I am presenting Ed Sable when I should be pissed off at him, because he stunted my social growth, because in 1971, I'm 16, 17 years old. I should be going out with Muriel Berkowitz. And instead, on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, I'm watching the game of the week between the Cowboys and the Redskins. I mean, damn Ed Sable. That got a big laugh, Lee, and I've learned over the years, you know this. A little humor goes a long way.
Levity. Hey, I can relate, Ira. Growing up out in the middle of the cornfields, every Saturday afternoon, an independent station out of St. Louis would have back-to-back This Week in the NFL, which was all the highlights, and then Game of the Week. And I watched that over Oklahoma against whomever, or Ohio State, or Michigan, or, you know, whatever the college game was on ABC. I would watch the NFL film stuff, and I dare say the NFL would not be the 500-pound gorilla it is today without the Sables, without Ed Sable and his son, Steve. I really believe that. The marketing that NFL Films did, this is way before cable TV, that's how we got our highlights. That and Monday Night Football Halftime Show with Howard Cosell.
That's right. And Lee, along those lines, to me, one of the highlights, one of the peaks, was, Mike and I Pike Strand for Super Bowl IV. That was a genius move. It was a brainstorm.
56 torque crossbar trap.
And I don't think any coach had agreed to that beforehand, Lee, but Strand did it. And, you know, the guy's a maestro out there. It was a fantastic tool for the NFL. You're right.
Sage, let me pull you into 2024 here. Anthony asks, should the Bucs continue to sign free agents and provide depth and help to this roster?
I think it's a smart move, and I think it's a move that's going to be made. I don't think it's necessarily a set roster. I don't. Now, I don't know how much you're going to be able to gauge from training camp or some exhibition games. I don't even call them preseason games, Lee. I stick with exhibition games. Lee, I don't know how much you're going to be able to discern from that sample size, but, you know, something like corner, if McCollum's struggling and you don't have the confidence level that you need, with a starting corner, or if Bucky Irving doesn't show much and you want, you know, somebody behind White that can push him. Lee, I'm not surprised if they pick up a few guys that are late cuts from another team in the days leading up to the opener against Washington. I'm not sure this is a set roster.
Oh, I agree with you. Inside linebacker is dangerously thin. I know it's going to irritate a lot of people because they call me a broken record. Well, the Bucs provide me with the content to be a broken record. I wouldn't bet any money Randy Gregory makes the team. The way I look at it, he shouldn't be on the team. That's number one. But the Bucs, they need an edge rusher so bad. If I was light, I would be combing any team that had anybody with a hint of ability to get at the passer. I'd be all over him. So those are two, just on defense, those are two areas right there that they should be looking at. You know, whenever Light gets back from vacation, very first thing he ought to do is start combing rosters for inside linebackers and an edge rush. God forbid if Lavonte David goes down, this defense might be screwed. This Cervantes Dennis, I don't know if he's any good. He made one play in a worthless preseason game. He's been pretty much invisible since then. I think he got a tackle against the Lions, might have. So this team is dangerously thin on inside linebacker. Cornerback, I'm not overly sold on cornerback. That's another area, and I think every team could look for a cornerback, but the Bucs in particular. So I agree with you. There are areas on that roster that need bolstering.
And Steve, it's worth mentioning, year after year, you know, shortly before teams break for the start of the season and camp's over, some veterans are dispatched. They're dispatched because of salary issues and things. Maybe some rookie flashed that you didn't count on. And you got to, you know, choose between a 9-year veteran and a rookie, and you go with the rookie. Some good players become available late in August, early September.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just, you know, being sharp. I mean, go look back at 2014. The Bills cut a guy who really hadn't played for them and was just hanging around at the bottom of the roster, Jaquise Smith. The Bucs signed him, and he had 6.5 sacks and started like half the season and came back, had a good year the next year until they foolishly put their top edge rusher on special teams and he blew his knee out running on the turf in Atlanta. So, that's just one example of a guy that they got. Michael Bennett was a practice squad guy. And, you could even go back to You know, I talk about combing the earth, as Lee's talking about. I mean, look, when they signed Greg White in 2007 out of the Arena League, he came in, was unbelievable in his first year.
By the way, I have a little problem with this one. I don't know why I find this so curious, but Lee, as we sit here, weeks before training camp, 32 NFL training camps, Lee, Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, Jones is going to be 27 next month. Fournette is 29. Lee, they don't have a job. Now, look, I'm not saying the Bucs should pick him up, but Jones was suspended for performance-enhancing drugs when he was with Dallas. And then they cut him, and nobody's picked him up. I don't know what's going on with Fournette. He's got some mileage, Lee, but, Lee, isn't it kind of curious that two guys, not that long ago, who kind of helped the Bucs hoist the Vince Lombardi trophy, they can't get a job in this league?
Unfortunately, no, it's not surprising, because running backs have such a short shelf life. With Fournette, you sort of answered your own question. It's the mileage. Right now in the NFL, if there's a running back on anyone's roster that's 29, that guy's a nursing home resident. He's so old. And Jones, if he couldn't play for Andy Reid, and he couldn't play for Arians, then you're pretty much out of rope. He was, and I hate to say this, he was sort of a head case. No one's really come out and said that, but we've discussed this on your podcast before. You know, Steve as well has been involved in this. That there's been some evidence that Jones, for whatever reason, was a little bit of a head case, at least football-wise. Now, did he turn into a head case because Dirk Cutter drove him nuts? Dirk Cutter wouldn't have anything to do with it. And I don't know, that screwed with his head. But I remember when Arians came in, Arian said more than once, you know, we really got to work with... He all but said that he got to work on his head. His head wasn't screwed on straight. They gave him all sorts of rope. And I think the last straw for Arians, he, on a third down, he ran out of bounds right in front of the first down marker. Ooh. If anybody remembers that. I want to say it was Buffalo. And after that, he hardly ever played. And then before long, he was not on the roster. Goes to the Chiefs. He was pretty much a practice squad guy there. And I think, like you said, the year after he got popped for PEDs, and he's pretty much been out of football since. Now, Fournette, last year, he spent maybe a month on the practice squad of the Bills. I want to say they activated him for a playoff game or maybe the last game of the season. And he was cut before they were eliminated. They released him before the Bills were eliminated from the playoffs. So that kind of tells me if a playoff team couldn't use him, he's probably done.
Steve, the funny part about Jones, I know it's crazy, but Steve, his production's not bad. Steve, it's not bad. One year he averaged over 5 yards a carry. One year he almost got 1,000 yards rushing. You know, he got hurt a little bit towards the end of his Buck tenure, but by the numbers, Steve, he wasn't bad.
Well, let me throw this out there, Ira, and you know, it speaks to, like, Jason Light, I believe he's done a great job. I believe he already belongs in the Ring of Honor, but you know, this highlights some of the decisions that came down here. Look, before the 2022 season, which is really Fournette's last full season, when after which the league determined he was washed out, before that 2022 season, the Bucs gave him $7 million a year to come back. And if they let him go, and instead of drafting Logan Hall, they had drafted Breece Hall in the second round, or Kenneth Walker from the Seahawks, might have had a very different team for Tom Brady and a very different feel for the roster right now. So, you know, those are decisions that, you know, you got to look back and say, you know, what if?
Lee, would we look at Ronald Jones as a mistake as a second round pick, or do you say, hey, they won a championship with him?
A little of both. Yeah. A little of both. You know, and Steve brought this up before. For whatever reason, last decade or so, Bucks haven't been very good at scouting running backs. For whatever reason. Jim Dog McPlaybook is a beautiful example. They needed a running back so bad, and that draft was so loaded with running backs. They bring him in, really? He quit on him, you remember that? And in the Hard Knocks, he actually quit on him. They're going to bring him back. No, I'm going to San Francisco.
Which guy, Lee?
Snoop Dogg McPlaybook.
Also, yeah. Ira, also known as Jeremy McNichols.
Yeah, he lashed on with Tennessee for a couple of years.
Don't forget Keyshawn Vaughn. Well, yeah, that's another one. Yeah, you know.
Sage, I got another question for you here. You ready?
I think so.
All right. Now, this is a good one. Which Bucks players for you, Ira, past or present, or I guess recent times, did you think were going to be great based on training camp or college that simply did not work out? And that's
the Verdi. I got here in 85. Vinny got here in 87. Now, Lee, even though I covered the Fiesta Bowl, the 86 season.
Oh, was that Miami Penn State?
Yeah, I covered that game. Yeah. It was one of the most memorable assignments I ever had for United
Press. Wow.
So I was in Arizona for a week. I was there for that stir-fry dinner when they came in. UM came in with battle fatigues.
Yeah, and camo.
Yeah, and Penn State players, you know, were almost in a tuxedo, you know, and the contrast. Anyway, so I watched Vinny throw 5 interceptions that night, and UM lost the game they had no business losing. No business. I mean, I think arguably that's the best college team I've ever seen that didn't win the title.
Wow.
You might say Osborne's Nebraska team late when he went for 2 against UM. You might argue that. But anyway, so I covered that game, and then Vinny came to town as the number one overall pick when Perkins came in. And the guy is an incredible talent, Lee. He's a hell of an athlete. Testaverde's a hell of an athlete. Little did I know that after those terrible years in Tampa, Lee, in year 2, he threw 35 interceptions. 35. That's hard to do. That was 1988. Lee, little did I know when he left the Bucs, you know, he didn't reach the level of Steve Young when he left the Bucs, but Lee had a hell of a career with all these different teams.
Belichick rescue his career?
I think so. He played for Baltimore. Played for the Jets.
Yep.
Played for Cleveland. You know, Steve, he's in the top 20 lifetime in a lot of categories. Testaverde.
Well, when you when you play till you're 44, that happens. All right, Ira, we're moving you on to this question is from Tally Bull, and he says, fun fact, the word Ira means angry in Latin. I believe that's the root of the word ire, if I remember correctly. But anyway, the word Ira means angry, so he asks, what makes Ira angry about Tampa Bay sports? What's got you pissed off about this Tampa Bay sports scene right now, Ira?
Well, because sometimes I think we're a little naive, and I'll give you an example, and it's a very current example. Lee, I love Steven Stamkos. I thought he was a fantastic representative, a great captain, hell of a play. He's going in the Hockey Hall of Fame, Lee. But fans are out of their minds. You know, on Twitter, I'm canceling my Lightning season ticket.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, Lee, my point is, this happens all around sports.
Yes.
We you know, you let go of a veteran. And then, like, the next day, they signed Victor Hedman, who's a great player in his own right. And so there's money issues, Lee. There's money issues. And, you know, guys got to go. Derek Brooks was let go, you know, after 2008. It's the way of the world, Lee. Wayne Gretzky was traded, Lee. Traded. But, you know, in Tampa, it's like the sky's falling. I'll never see another Lightning game. Now, Lee, in other cities, your allegiance is to the franchise. Here, it seems sometimes that their allegiance is to a particular player. In some ways, Lee, I think we need to be a little more sophisticated.
I agree with that, I sympathize greatly with Lightning fans, and I think I've got a fair analogy, Ira. You know, I grew up a Cardinals fan, and up until very recently, like the last 3 years, you know, until I gave up on baseball, it's just the way it's played now. I it's not the way I grew up following baseball,
right.
And I just can't handle it. That's what it does. Well, when the Cardinals could not re-sign Albert Pujols, you know, one of the greatest hitters who ever played the game, and he bolted. I was in a depression for about a week to 10 days. I remember when I first heard the news, I was on my computer. I could barely work. I could barely touch the keyboard. I'm surprised I didn't start crying. And so I sympathize with Lightning fans. I think I feel them. I think I can understand their frustration. Give it a couple weeks. This Lightning organization is very good. And you know what? I always say this, Ira. Winning is the greatest perfume.
Yep.
If Lightning win their division next year and they make a deep playoff run,
Stamkos, he will not be in the forefront of everyone's mind. All the Lightning fans will be excited about a new era, a new run. They're still one of the best. They're still competent. Winning goes a long way. And so I can sympathize with Lightning fans, but when an athlete, no matter how good he is, reaches early 30s to mid-30s, and a team has a salary cap they have to watch out for, and this player is expected to get paid, well, they're going to wave bye-bye.
And Lee, I think it's worth mentioning, as good a player as Stamkos has been, he ain't Albert Pujols. He's not.
Ira, I gotta throw a big shame on you out there. Come on. I'm not the biggest Lightning fan in the world or hockey fan, but Stamkos, he scored 40 goals last year. You know how many 40-goal scorers are in the NHL? Not too many. And I get why the fans are pissed off. He doesn't miss games, and he's a good player, and it doesn't make your team better. They're not, and that's that. And plus, look, you know, you remember how the guy came into the league with the billboards, who was seen Stamkos and all the hype in the world, you know, all those years ago, 2007, 2008, whatever it was, and he's gone, and he's still good. I understand why he's pissed off. Derek Brooks was not still great when they got rid of him. Evan Longoria, when he got traded and people were devastated, he didn't go on to any kind of greatness after that. I understand that, you know, that could happen to Stamkos too, but he's still really good. And how would you feel if the Bucks got rid of Mike Evans? I don't think you have to be sophisticated. I think you could be pissed off and it's still okay.
Well, as Lee always says, in terms of a new contract, they're going to pay you for what they think you're going to do, not what you have done, right, Lee?
Exactly, yeah.
And so I think the feeling, and by the way, you know, he did have 40 goals, Steve. You can't argue with that. But he scored about half of them on the power play, and I think their big problem is 5-on-5. So in that respect, and then they went out and signed a big-time player, you know, a 35-goal scorer. Mm-hmm. So who's younger? Who's younger?
Bingo.
So, Steve, I understand you jumping on me. It's one of your great hats. I appreciate it. But it wouldn't shock me if Stamkos scores 23 goals next year. Wouldn't shock me.
All right, well, that was a good question there. Should we dare ask Lee what gets him mad about Tampa Bay sports?
The Bucks ignoring an edge rusher. It's really that simple. The Bucks ignoring an edge rusher. I guess you could say St. Pete, or anyone, just build a freaking stadium for the Rays. I don't care if the damn thing's in Naples. Just build the freaking thing, will you? Somebody, anybody, just get it done. But outside the stadium, it's the Bucks. Trivializing the edge rush.
Hey, Ira, I got a question for you regarding Lee and the edge rush there, but I want to remind everybody, buildcurryford.com. Get there now. Start shopping. Curry, that's the family name. C-U-R-R-I-E. Bill Curry Ford. Don't worry. Drive Curry. You'll be happy you did. And remember our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get there too and be prepared for when disaster strikes your property. We know what the Bucks did looking for an edge rusher, and over in Miami, you know, they had major injuries to their big two edge rushers, Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips. So, you know, they know these guys are coming back this season, but they, you know, a little leery of what might happen. So they signed Shaq, and they went out and also added Calais Campbell, who was coming off a strong season, a revival year for him. And then they went out and drafted Chop Robinson. Now, that's what you call adding to your edge rush when you have some question marks. What do you think of that, the comparison there? And what I threw out there, Ira, was that, you know what? If those guys kind of all show up healthy, you know, by midseason, Shaq Barrett could be the fourth or fifth string edge rusher. If the Bucks are desperate, maybe they ask if they can have him back.
Well, if he was doing anything, he wouldn't be the fourth or fifth guy.
Well, he might be before with that lineup. I mean, if those guys come back strong, he might be.
Now they did draft Braswell. Like, they did draft Braswell as their second pick. So you can't say they're ignoring it. But Leah, I just think a little bit they're putting a little bit too much faith, for my taste, and Shoyinka and Logan Hall.
Yaya?
You know, no, not Yaya, because he's productive. Steve, I don't have much faith in those other two guys. I mean, he was they're the top two draft picks 2 years running. I understand that. But that doesn't make them good players. Where they're drafted doesn't make them good players. I don't know if it's the light influence. I don't know what Bowles thinks. I know what Bowles says in public about Shaw Yank, and I don't want to hear him about dropping back into coverage, Lee. I don't want to hear that anymore. Let's put that one to bed, Steve. Let's put that one to bed. I don't want to hear that from the podium about Shoyinka. Steve, they haven't given up on these guys, and it's sad to say, but I kind of have given up on both of those guys.
Sage, one reader, I figure, you know, hey, we got to at least oblige this, and I'll get to the rest of the questions in our next podcast. Grandpappy Donk is his handle, and he says he just wants to let everybody know not to bring your dog out to fireworks and get them involved in fireworks displays or shows or anything fireworks, because it's the leading day when dogs get lost and things happen to dogs and just bad things all around. So just keep your dog inside. Do you agree with that? What do you do with Cosmo? How does he handle the cherry bombs and ash cans and all the things in your neighborhood?
Lee, we make it a point to try to be home on the 4th. You know, we don't want to travel and put him in a kennel when he's hearing all these rockets and M80s go off. We try to comfort him, Lee. He doesn't like it, like most dogs, I think. He doesn't like it, you know, especially when it's going on for hours all around the neighborhood. And my wife has a vest, Lee. It's sort of like a comfort vest.
How often do you wear that, Ira?
It's expandable, Steve. It's expandable. So it can fit a 48 waist very easily if you want to take it off the dog. But we try to stay home and calm the pooch down because it can be a little traumatic, like me watching the Bucks running game.
Maybe it was Dave Summers, Steve. Their dog would go bananas on 4th of July and on thunderstorms. Thunderstorms drove the dog crazy, too. It would tear up stuff around the house. So they actually, you know, they had like a little, you know, like an extra bedroom they used as a storage room. Well, on the 4th of July, they would set that up as like a safe room for the dog, you know, where the dog could sit there and relax. They'd have a bunch of chew toys. They'd throw pillows in there that they didn't care if they get ripped up or not. It was like a safe house, almost like a safe room. So, you know, if they had to rip something apart because it got mental because of the fireworks, it'd be okay. And is that something you try to do for Cosmo as well?
That's a very good idea, Lee. As a matter of fact, my wife uses it on me when the 76ers lose a playoff game. I go right in the safe room, bury my head in the pillows, get a bunch of ring dings and some Yoo-Hoo. It seems to calm me down.
You know what? I think I'm just going to exit on that, Sage. We'll be back.
One question for Ira. While I'm thinking of it, I want to ask Ira this. One of the gentlemen, you answered him on Twitter, Ira, but one of the gentlemen that was asking questions, your boy, Sweet Tea, that's it, your boy, he asked you, Mount Rushmore of Bucks players. Now, you had answered Selman, Brooks, Sapp, and Barber. Pretty solid. What about Mike Evans?
He's a contender, Lee. I thought about it.
You know, if he stays healthy this year, he's going to be in the top 10 of receiving catches. And to me, Selman, Brooks, and Sapp are absolute locks in that Mount Rushmore. But if Evans gets to be top 10 touchdown catches, that's really significant. I don't know if you could say Rondae Barber's top 10 cornerback, but top 10 touchdown catches, I might have to nudge Evans over Barber.
It's an interesting call.
I think it'll come down to years. I mean, Rondae Barber with the 16 years. Yeah, we'll see what Evans puts out there. But I think, honestly, a couple more years for Mike Evans, I would nudge him over Barber.
That's hard to do, Steve. It's hard to do.
But Evans, you can't. What he's putting up, that's undeniable. But to me, you're right. The first three guys you picked, Ira, to me, they're just no-brainers. They're just like, next. You know, Selman, Brooks, and Sapp, next.
I'm with John Natalie. Next. Next.
All right, Ira, what's on the menu for July 4th, and then we're out?
One of my tennis guys is throwing a party, so we're going over. I'm bringing an apple pie. I think I can do a little... He usually barbecues, maybe ribs, could be hot dogs and hamburgers, but nice group of about 20 people, so we got somewhere to go, and then we got to make sure we get back before nightfall because we got to be with Cosmo.
Fireworks in your backyard, Ira?
No, we used to do it when Sam was growing up. One time we shot off we shot off something, and I think it went in somebody's car down the street. Might have started a small blaze.
Hey, Sage, when you make that first plate of food, you should take a picture and send it to Todd Bowles. I think he'd appreciate that.
All right, boys, next time.